Hey, folks, what would you do this summer with all the money you'd save if you didn't have a car payment for the next 5 months? Hopefully, buy lots of merchandise for the Mike Church Trading Post. Well, right now at Bulldog Kia in Athens, Georgia, take advantage of the Summer's on Us sales event with zero payments for 5 months. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 66 months on the one-of-a-kind Kia Soul, or the high-tech Kia Forte, or the newly redesigned Kia Optima. Bulldog Kia is where Mrs. Church and I have purchased our vehicle since 2011. They're great friends, and they'll treat you right, too. And for Mike Church Show listeners anywhere in the continental U.S., they will ship your new Kia to you for free. Don't cost nothing. That means your new Kia is only a click or call away. For details, call them at 855-BULLDOG or go to bulldogkia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia.
Is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. When you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
We're on a rescue mission, folks. You're part of the new Delta team that is going out to try to rescue what is left of the Black Hawk, the culture that is down. Don't fool yourself. The culture, like the Black Hawk movie, is down. There are no rotors you're putting back on that aircraft to get it back in the air. The American culture will not be refloated. You are now part of the new Delta Force going out to rescue what we can. Stop looking at the woman in the red dress, as Morpheus points out. You are on a rescue mission. You are part of the Delta Force out there to help your friends, your family, your co-workers, your church members unplug the Matrix cable from the back of their heads. They don't know it's in there. It is incumbent upon you, not me. It is incumbent upon you to take the responsibility as members of the new Delta Force to go out there and rescue your friends. And it will be as difficult, as challenging as it really was in Mogadishu that day when the actual Black Hawk helicopter went down. It will be very difficult. It will be challenging. It will be fraught with obstacles. But it is a duty you must agree to perform. Welcome to the Mark Kreslin Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. I'm glad you joined us here on a Friday, closing up the week, Friday, June 17th at 6 a.m.-ish Central Time. I'll be broadcasting live till 8 a.m.-ish. Well, I can't say ish, because I'm locked in till 8 o'clock, followed by my good friend, Mike Church, host of the Mike Church Show. He's up at 8. He broadcasts live till 11. And ish. Of course, he gets the ish after his. I don't get an ish after mine. I get kicked off at 8:55 or 7:55. I'm glad you joined us. But we are live, broadcasting live. One of the great commitments Mike has set up for this network is that we want to be live. We want to offer live programming out there. Programming you won't hear anywhere else, certainly not on mainstream talk radio that still lives in the illusion that the Black Hawk is still in the air. If we can just plot a little different course, maybe that RPG won't hit us. Well, folks, the RPG hit us a long time ago. The rotor, the tail rotor came off. The main rotors are going to come off when it hit, and we are down. The culture is down. We must now think in terms of a rescue mission, not pretending that the plane is still in the air. It does us no good to live there. We've all heard the phrase, perception is reality. And while some of us who consider ourselves thinkers want to resist that reality, for the vast majority of the people, that is reality. Perception, what they perceive to be true to them is true. And the reality is, folks, that we know is that the Black Hawk is down, the culture is down. There's evidence all over the place. There's wreckage all over the place if we just open our eyes and see it. And thus, we have to reconsider what we are doing. Does it serve any purpose to plot ahead in the same exact direction decade after decade after decade? I would argue no, it makes no sense to do that. And so there is no solution coming out of mainstream conservative talk radio today. None, zip, zero, nada. If you choose to waste your time over there listening to mainstream conservative talk radio, well, then you will get exactly what it delivers, the same thing. How would you like to go to Olive Garden and every day eat the exact same meal every single day the rest of your life? Well, that's what mainstream conservative talk radio offers you, the exact same Olive Garden meal every single day of your life. There's no changes to it. It is still the same old tired idea of voting, hoping, and coping, getting the Republicans back in power in Washington, D.C., as if there's some magic to that solution, as if that solution will work up against literally decades of proof that solution has not, will not, and cannot work. There are reasons why it cannot work. We talk about them on this show. We talk about them on the Mike Church Show. On other shows on the network, there's reasons why it cannot work. So we have to understand that we are on a rescue mission at this point. If you agree with me that the tired, old, status quo solutions of voting, hoping, and coping, getting the Republicans into power, if you agree with me that those solutions are not really solutions at all, they're often just a way to keep people in power, to keep people financially with financial gain, if you agree with me, then you've got to join the new Delta Force and we have to go on a rescue mission.
That's right.
There you go.
And you know what Morpheus said right after he told Neo, you're looking at the woman in the red dress?
Yeah, you see what happened when he got distracted.
Look again.
You look again.
And he had a gun pointed. In his face.
That's right. That's right.
That's what folks need to do. Take another look.
That's right.
And you
that's
see
exactly
and you see what it is for real.
Exactly. Once you and I imagine most of you in the listening audience have unplugged from the Matrix. I suspect some of you are new listeners, listening for perhaps the first time and wondering, what the heck am I talking about? What is this bozo I wandered into actually talking about? The Matrix. What Matrix? Kressel, that was a movie. Well, sometimes movies imitate, or art imitates real life, doesn't it? We are in a Matrix. Now, it's not the one in the movie, obviously. I don't believe we're in some alternative universe. But you get the point of what Morpheus is saying. We're all tied into this thing here. We loosely call it a set of American values, American ideals, whatever you want to call it. But we all buy into this system that we call ourselves Americans, and that is the American matrix. It is, we're American. Well, are we really? Let's challenge some of those ideas. Let's not be afraid to discuss these ideas. Is that what there was an attempt to create back in 1776 and then unfortunately codified in a constitution that clearly has not worked? I want to remind you of a quote that my good friend Mark Irwin repeated yesterday when he was on the show from Lysander Spooner about the Constitution. Lysander Spooner said this, "But whether the Constitution really may be one thing or another, this much is certain, that it was neither either authorized such a government as we have had or has been powerless to prevent it. In either case, it is unfit to exist." Pretty harsh words from Brother Lysander. Now catch what he says. And ask yourself this question while you're listening to this. Is this true, what Lysander Spooner said? "But whether the Constitution really be one thing or another, this much is certain, that it has either authorized such a government as we have had or has been powerless to prevent it. In either case, it is unfit to exist." Now, to many people, that is shocking. That is, to many Christians that are listening to me right now, that is nearly sin. Kreslitz, you can't. You know, you got three listeners now. You're down one more, buddy. You start quoting Lysander Spooner one more time, and you bring up his blather about the Constitution being either authorizing this system of government we have today or unable to prevent it from occurring. You keep mentioning that blather, and I'm clicking you off. I am going to believe the Constitution is a divinely created document. David Barton has told me that for years, especially those of us who are Christians. We've been told for years by our Christian leaders that the Constitution is really, in the Protestant Bible, the 67th book. That the founding fathers and the members of the convention, by the way, which are not the same people, but, you know, just for the sake in the Christian community, those of us who have been taught that they're nearly the same people, that we call them the founding fathers, and we think the same people that fought the war in 1776 were the same ones who fought, who were at the Philadelphia Convention. Never mind that those were not the same people. But regardless, Kreslins, let's get back to the point. The point is, David Barton and others have told us for literally decades now that the founding fathers are almost like the apostles.
Not quite.
That they met in Philadelphia in May, in that hot summer, May through September of 1787. They had daily prayer meetings, searching of the scriptures. They broke bread, took communion every morning. And after just months of prayer, out popped the Constitution. Kreslins, that's what we've been told. Now, you're trying to tell me on your stupid little radio program that that's not really how it went down? Well, you better have some proof here, bucko, because old David, I think he has over 100,000 documents, original documents. That makes him almost unchallengeable on his opinions about this. We as Christians do not challenge David Barton. We don't. He's got 100,000 documents. Well, so that means what he says is near gospel. And if he says that the founding fathers used the Bible to create the Constitution, then he's got the proof. Now, I know there's really no proof of that, Kreslins. I know there's nothing in that those 100,000 documents that proves that, but that's not the point. We believe what David says because he's a Christian. He's a brother. How can he be wrong? Well, folks, if you have been infected by the David Barton approach to history, you need to understand that you've got that matrix cable plugged squarely in the back of your head, and he helped it. He helped plug it in. Now, I don't question his motives. I don't know why he does what he does. I don't know why he says what he says. But he's been roundly criticized by the true professional historians for his conclusions about the Philadelphia Convention. He's largely wrong. I've heard it myself when he has alluded to the three branches of government having come to the founders from the book of Isaiah, chapter 33, verse 22. I asked my friend, Professor Dr. Kevin Gutzman, an authority on James Madison, whether James Madison ever did indeed turn to Isaiah 33:22 and then proclaim, hey fellas in the convention, guess what God just showed me? In Isaiah 33:22, we're supposed to have three branches of government. Because God is the judge, God is the king, and God is the lawmaker in that passage of scripture. So that must be evidence that God wants us to have three branches of government.
It was more like, I say...
Christopher, you just have to get with David Barton on this, all right? He's going to show you those 100,000 documents he has.
No, I'm talking about not Isaiah, Isaiah. I say that the government needs to be three branches.
Leave the humor to the professionals, all right?
Okay.
Back away from the microphone.
But you see, my point is...
Yes, I do.
Made the three branches of government. God did not do that.
No, he did not. And yet, Christians have been taught for literally decades that the Bible was the tool that the founders turned to create the Constitution. And folks, let me assure you, there is no evidence that that's the case.
I thought they turned to Socrates and Plato and things like that.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. I think it's Federalist 47 or 53. Madison actually discloses what he did turn to, and it was Montesquieu for the three branches of government. That's where the idea came from. Actually, Madison actually writes where he got it, not Isaiah 33:22. So folks, this is part of the problem is certainly within the Christian community, we've got our history wrong. We just have to admit it. We've got to admit, okay, well, we've got some, everybody's wrong. I'm wrong. There's been a number, believe me, I'll be wrong today. I'm sure I'll say something wrong. But as I say routinely on the air here, it's okay to be wrong. It's just not okay to stay wrong. Once you realize, all right, I've got an error going on in my thinking, well, change your thinking. The word repentance in Greek is actually translated changing your thinking. Just change your thinking on this. I did. I came to realize that what I had learned from people like David Barton and others, regardless of their motivation, I'm not concerned about what David's motivation and why he says the things he says. What I'm concerned is what the impact has been on people. And I will tell you, as an evangelical born-again Christian myself, his influence has been profound. It continues to make people think that this nation can still be rescued, that we're just one election away, though they've kind of given up on that idea here recently. I have a very good friend of mine that attended one of the highest-level evangelical meetings you could ever attend, where all the big names in evangelical Christianity that are involved in politics were at this meeting. And as they went around the room, they spent the majority of the time just complaining about the obvious, Obama, Clinton, the Democrats, whatever, just the obvious, the stuff you hear on mainstream talk radio all the time. And then inevitably they got to the end, and at some point somebody says, well, what are the solutions? And of course, now these are the biggest names in evangelical politics that you'll know them all. Family Research Council, the Gary Bowers, all these guys. And if you're a Christian politically active in the evangelical community, you know all these names. They got to the end, and it got to the point of, well, what do we do about it? A hush fell over the room as these great leaders all looked around at one another. Nobody had any answers. And finally, somebody piped up, well, I guess we've got to find a way to get better Supreme Court justices. Oh, now there, hey, you know what? That deserves some music, doesn't it? Now, ding, that is the solution of all solutions.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's celebrate that solution. Let's all just right. get better Supreme Court justices. I'm on board. Are you?
I am.
Heck with all this Delta Force. You know, we're on a rescue mission. Let's just get some better Supreme Court justices there. Can wrap my mind and arms around that. Oh, good times are just around the corner. You just wait until we get them better Supreme Court justices in there. You are going to be stunned with what's going to happen. That's right. All good times, baby. And that's all they had, folks. That's the great leadership of the evangelical community meeting in Washington, D.C., spending the vast majority of time complaining about the obvious. And when it came about time to talk about solutions, it was the same old, tired, failed strategy of getting the Republicans back in power and then having them appoint better Supreme Court justices. That's it. Oh, man, now, can't you get excited about that? Who can't get excited about that strategy? I will work my tail off for that strategy. Yeah, that is something really to put my hope in. That if we can just get the Republicans, wait a minute, aren't they in power right now? Well, they're in power in one part. Kressler, the only reason we don't have better Supreme Court justices is because, yes, we have control of the Senate and we have control of the House, but we've got to get control of the White House. That's the only reason we don't have better Supreme Court justices. Ignore the Supreme Court justices that previous presidents have appointed, like Justice Roberts. Kresslins, that was just a mistake. Yes, we know that others, what's his name? Souter was a mistake as well. But this time, we won't make that same mistake this time, Kresslins. If we get Trump, if we throw Trump out at the convention and then get Mitt Romney there, you just watch and see, Kresslins. This time we're going to get a great Supreme Court justice. Yes, Kresslins, we understand that Antonin Scalia did say about stare decisis, that the role stare decisis plays in judicial decisions is to make that which appears to be, to make that which is false appear to be true. We know Antonin Scalia said that. But that's not that he was the most conservative. Kresslins, he was the most constitutionally conservative Supreme Court justice of all time. We don't care that he said stare decisis makes that which is false appear to be true. We don't care about that. We like the feeling that comes when we utter the words the most conservative constitutional Supreme Court justice of all time. Kresslins, we live in a world of feelings, not facts. Facts don't matter. What matter are feelings and how we feel about things. And we feel that deceased Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia was the most constitutionally conservative Supreme Court justice of all time. We feel that way about it. Don't rob us of our feelings. We don't care about facts. So just hang in there with us. If we get the Republicans in the White House, if we can throw Donald Trump out at the convention, and we can get Mitt Romney in there, he is going to appoint the smoking hot Supreme Court justices. Now, not physically smoking hot. Smoking hot conservative constitutional Supreme Court justices. You just wait and see, Kresland, you big dummy. That is a winning strategy. That is something we're getting behind. Rush has told us that's what we got to shoot for. Mark Levin said, we need better Supreme Court justices. Count me in. That is an exciting... Woo! I just got the chills thinking about that strategy. Wow. What a broad vision of fixing the problems we have. What a compelling vision. We need to get, just think of the bumper stickers we can create, Kreslins. We need better Supreme Court justices. Order me 100. Folks, you get the point, right? I mean, that is silly. This is the best, the brain trust of the evangelical political leadership could come up with. We know we've got all these indicators that everything, the Black Hawk is down, the culture is melted down. We've got all these indicators out there that Christianity is becoming, is quickly finding itself in the crosshairs. We've got all these indicators that things are melting down or are down around us. And our solution, let's hang our hat on getting better Supreme Court justices in there. Oh, my gosh. And I know the person that was at this meeting. I know him very, very well. He's a very good friend of mine. And he was in the room. And he saw it firsthand. That's what they got. That's the great solution. Better Supreme Court justices. Folks, if we don't think differently about the problem, there is absolutely no way we solve it. None. And even thinking differently about the problem doesn't guarantee that we can fix it. I want to draw your attention to an article I wanted to get to this morning. I wanted to get to it yesterday, just didn't. This is from a website titled World Religion News. Another study confirms Christianity is fading in America. You cannot ignore the trends. It does us no good to ignore reality out there. It doesn't help the cause. It doesn't. If the Delta Force in Mogadishu ignored that the Black Hawk helicopter was down, guess what they would never have done? Started heading towards it to try to rescue whoever they could. If we ignore the reality that Christianity is fading in America, and we hold on to this hope that America is a Christian nation, is all we need to do is restore that, and all we need to do is restore the Constitution. If we keep living in that fairy tale land, all we do is render ourselves ineffective in the fight. The reality is Christianity is on decline, is in decline here in America. Is it troublesome to hear that? Of course. But it's reality, folks. We have to deal with where we really are. From the article, a recent Gallup poll has revealed, this is a 2016 article, by the way, a recent Gallup poll has revealed that one among five Americans does not identify with any religion, up 5% since 2008. This poll had a total of 174,000 respondents. If one goes by poll figures, then almost 75% of U.S. adults identify themselves with the Christian religion. About 5% of adults identify with about 5% of adults identify with any non-Christian religion. About 20% of the total respondents claim to follow no religion. The poll clearly shows that even as Christians form a majority, the number of members belonging to this religion continue to fall. The trend has been continuing for decades. This is not a new phenomena. To put it in perspective, Gallup polls conducted during the 1950s resulted in Christian-dominated results, like 90% of those polls professed following the path laid by Christ. A minuscule percentage claimed to be irreligious at that time. The report also states that religion is on the wane among the younger section of the population. Approximately one-third of the total surveyed under 30 years of age confirmed their independence from religious thought. Surprise, surprise. When the numbers are narrowed down to only those who have claimed religious affiliation, 94% of them are found to be Christians. The list of non-Christian categories include Mormons and a few others. About 24% of the residents identify themselves as Catholic. Protestants are followed by 50% of the Christian-identified respondents. Mormons scoop up about 2%. The Gallup poll survey confirms a previous Pew Research survey that discovered a significant fall in American religiosity. The same study reported a jump in the N-O-N-E, or religiously unaffiliated. Folks, the trend is not our friend. There's a common phrase in trading stocks that goes just like that. The trend is your friend. And when you're trading stocks, that's true. Whether the trend is up or the trend is down, the trend is your friend. So if you are going long in stocks, in other words, you're buying stocks and expecting the price you bought of that to increase over time, and the trend suggests that that will be the case, the trend is your friend. If you identify a weakness in a company that you realize their earnings are going to go down and the stock price is going to go down as a result, you short the stock. And if that's true and the earnings come in short and it comes in short over a period of multiple earning periods, well, the trend to short that stock is your friend. It is not the same in politics. It is not the same in the culture. Our culture is becoming, it is decadent, it is debaucherous, and the trend is not our friend. The trend towards secular humanism is strong. What would you expect after generations have gone through the public government indoctrination camps we call public schools? What do you expect to come out of that? When faith is assaulted routinely in every area of our lives, from major media, Hollywood, television shows, education. What do you expect? Why should this surprise anybody? The baby boom, Gen X and millennial generations are jettisoning Christianity. They are tossing it overboard. They may have a kind of a loose affiliation with it just because they were raised in that family, in that type of environment when they were kids. They went to church on Christmas and Easter. And there's kind of this touchy-feely, good feeling about Christianity at certain times of the year. But in terms of aligning the beliefs of the Bible with their actions, that is on decline, folks. That is on a major decline. The generation that still holds to those beliefs to some degree, are the baby boom generation. Guess what's happening to the baby boom generation right now? We're dying. I am at the tail end of the baby boom generation. My time is a-coming. I don't know how many years the good Lord has left for me on this planet, but I can assure you it ain't 40. I'm pretty sure it's in the 20 range, maybe. So the baby boom generation is disappearing from the planet Earth, and it's not because of the rapture. They're disappearing because they're old and dying. So the one demographic that holds on to some at least belief that the Bible should impact my life and how I live my life, that generation is dying. It is being replaced by the Gen Xers and the millennials. Yeah, I know we all can hate those terms. I get that. But they define a demographic. There is the Gen X generation out there, Generation X. There are the millennials out there. There are the Gen Y. Now there's a new generation being labeled the snowflake generation. They're the ones that are in high school and college right now that are worried about trigger words. Oh, joy. Can't wait till that generation gets into control. Well, I'll be out of here by then. But the reality is the one generation that is holding on to some semblance of Christian tradition in our country, they're dying. They are being replaced. This is a very natural phenomenon. It happens all the time. One generation replaces another. In that regard, folks, the trend is not our friend as Christians. So we can either pound our chest and continue to believe that we're a Christian nation, Creslin. You just don't understand it. And in the context of being a Christian nation, somehow the solution to all the cultural problems we have is getting better Supreme Court justices. You can continue to believe that, or you can deal with the fact, just as they had to, when the Black Hawk went down in Mogadishu, the Black Hawk is down. The rotors are off. You're not putting new rotors on that aircraft. You're not going to get it back in the sky. The culture is down. The indicators are everywhere, just as it was on that day that Black Hawk helicopter went down. They had to deal with the fact that we've got a helicopter on the ground. Its rotors are torn off. There are people trapped inside. Now, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to pretend it's still in the air, or are we going to accept the reality that it's down? All the indicators were there that day. They saw it visually from the sky. They heard the crash. They saw the smoke. We've got the same thing going on in America as well, friends. The indicators are there. We have a bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt national masquerading as a federal government on our hands right now. That's the smoke. That's the evidence right there. There's a fact. That is a provable fact. I can prove to you that this is a bipartisan problem. The Republicans and the Democrats have control of Washington, D.C. They are corrupt. They are evildoers. Another evidence, another cloud of smoke billowing out of the culture. 56 million dead babies. 3,000 will die today. Right now, I've been on the air for about 40 minutes. Somewhere, another one has died. Maybe 10, 15. To equal that 3,000 for the day, you got to have a lot of killing that started at 7 o'clock East Coast time. Another cloud of smoke, just as they saw in Mogadishu. They saw the cloud of smoke. We've got smoke here, evidence that the culture is down. 56 million dead babies since 1973. Theft. Every single day is happening under the guise of it being legal. Another cloud of smoke, proving that this is a bipartisan, morally bankrupt national government. It is stealing from people every single day. You go to work, and you know what you focus on when you get your paycheck? Your net pay. Why? Because they've tricked you. They've deceived you into ignoring your gross pay. Because gross means nothing to you. Because you know why? You've been trained to think that that's just the beginning salary. I only really get what they let me keep. You don't think about your gross pay. Yeah, you may tell people you make $100,000 a year, but you know you don't keep it. Why? Because the morally bankrupt government has used the power of law to legitimize the illegitimate, i.e. theft. Another cloud of billowing smoke. The Black Hawk is down. The American culture is down. We borrow $500, $600, $700, $800 billion every year in order to fund day-to-day operations of the bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt national masquerading as a federal government. Every year we are borrowing. Guess from who? Guess who's going to catch that debt when it comes due? You know what the two fastest growing parts of our federal budget are right now? Entitlement spending and interest on the debt. Those are the two fastest growing parts of our federal budget. Why? Because we have to borrow money to pay the entitlements. And guess who's going to pay that MasterCard bill when it comes due? It's not going to be me. I'll probably be dead. Let's be honest. Like I said, I don't have 40 years left. I probably have 20 years left. But you know who's going to pay my debt? Jennifer, Caitlin, Trent, Natalie, Kyle, my grandson, Elle, my soon-to-be new granddaughter, and then, by the way, exciting news, my daughter and her husband, my son-in-law, my two of the most remarkable people I've ever met in my life, are adopting my grandchild number 3 and number 4. They just found out last night. So yours truly will be a grandfather of 4 children. So they are adopting granddaughter N and granddaughter K. All 4, 5, and 6-year-olds. Who will pay that debt by this oh, gosh, folks. Even saying it, I can get so angry that we have let this happen. This bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt national government. Where is the moral outrage about this? Christians, where is the righteous anger at this, at yourself for doing this? I did it. I'm angry at myself. We are going to stand before God someday on this stuff. And he is not going to be that happy with us. Me included. The Black Hawk, the culture is down. There is wreckage. There is smoke billowing out of it. 56 million dead babies. Nearly $20 trillion of stolen money. And not stolen from us. Yes, some of it is. But it's stolen from future generations. As I read yesterday on the air, that article, let me see if I can find it. We're getting to the point very rapidly where there will not be enough younger people to pay for the entitlements that we demand. We baby boom generation demand. We paid into it, doggone it, Kreslins. We paid into it. We deserve it. I would give up every bit of my Social Security today if they'd end it. I would gladly sign a note saying, keep it. I'll figure it out. Don't hang that millstone around my children's and grandchildren's neck. Gladly, in a second. Would you? I don't mean you in the listening audience. I don't know who I mean, but I mean somebody. I would gladly, I would sign that note. Hey, Paul Ryan, why don't you send me a letter saying I will be willing to forfeit all of my Social Security payments in exchange for ending that morally bankrupt Ponzi scheme. How many of you in the listening audience, honestly, would say, yeah, if that was actually a solution to ending Social Security, I'd give it up? I would in a second. Why? So as not to hang that millstone around my children and grandchildren's neck. Creslin's, that'll affect my lifestyle. I've been planning on that money. Well, you know, tough. You shouldn't have. I shouldn't have. So, you know, we've got to think differently about the problem, folks. I'm a little hot under the collar, but I'm more hot at myself. You know, when I bang the table like that, it's mainly because I'm mad at myself. Why didn't I figure this out 30 years ago? Why did it take so long for me to figure out that this is a bipartisan, corrupt, morally bankrupt, de facto versus de jure government, that it had unmoored itself from the Constitution? Why didn't I figure out 30 years ago that the Constitution was just a campaign prop, that it really means absolutely nothing? Yes, you heard it right here at 6:46 Central Time on the Mark Creslin Show. The Constitution is meaningless. Lysander Spooner is exactly right with his quote, but whether the Constitution really be one thing or another, this much is certain, that it has either authorized the type of government we have today, or it was powerless to prevent it. In either case, it is unfit to exist. Yes, I said it. I do not genuflect at the Constitution. I have examined it. I have found it to be wanting. It does not restrain a government. It is not the 67th book of the Protestant Bible. It is not divinely inspired. It did not come about as a result of a daily prayer meeting in Philadelphia between the months of May and September 1787. It did not come out of that. It is not sourced in the scriptures. Christians, if you're listening to me, throw that thinking out of your mind. If you think the solution to the problems we face today is a supposed restoration of the Constitution, call me at 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723, and make the case.
You know what it really was?
Tell me.
The Constitution? It was big words to throw in King George's face to tell him, we do not submit to your authority any longer.
Well, I would say the Declaration did that. The Constitution followed and organized a government. And it organized a decrepit government.
Yeah.
It organized a bipartisan, corrupt, and morally bankrupt government is what it did.
Right.
The Declaration threw it in King George's face. We're going alone. And I'm telling you, folks, that's where we got to head now. I'm going to come back from this break here, and I'm going to talk about solutions going forward. I know you. I'm not here just to complain about the obvious. Obviously, I think you all do agree with me, certainly in this listening audience, that the Black Hawk is down. The culture is down. It is smoldering. We're seeing the smoke of it being down. Gloss over. I can't, you know, sometimes I get going, I can't even get my brain working in the right direction. I'm not going to gloss over the reality out there, folks. The Constitution, as Jeff just said, is a dead letter. Lysander Spooner had it right. Whatever it is, It either authorized this thing. Folks, there is only two solutions here, or two answers. It either authorized this government we have, in which point you cannot honor this Constitution. Because then you're saying it authorized the death of 56 million babies who got their bodies torn apart because of it. It is either that, or it was powerless to stop it. Those are the only points related to the Constitution we can deal with on this show, and Christians, you need to deal with, and not just Christians, everyone needs to deal with that reality. Stop running around saying all we need to do is restore the Constitution. It didn't work. It just didn't work. Because we'll never, ever have the conversations we need to have as mature adults until we give up on that thought. There is no restoration of the Constitution that will fix the problems we have. If there is, call me. I have studied that document a great deal. I have put enormous amounts of time in studying the Philadelphia Convention, the characters that were there, the actors that were there, the arguments that were being made. And I can tell you that Lysander Spooner is spot on. Either the document created what we have today, or it was powerless to prevent what we have today. That is the only plausible way to look at the Constitution. It does us no good to run around saying all we need to do is restore it. When did it ever function properly? Was it functioning when Washington, Apostle George Washington, called up 13,000 troops without any Article II authority to do so? Did the Constitution call me at 844-527-8723 and point out in Article 2 where Apostle Washington was allowed to call up 13,000 troops and march them into Western Pennsylvania? Was the Constitution operating on July 11th, 1798, when the House of Representatives voted to arrest people for speaking out against King Adams and the government? Was it operational then? Or is Spooner right? Folks, we'll talk about real solutions when we come back from this break. But right now, we do have to head out and pay some bills. Our telephone number is 844-5-CRUSADE, 844-527-8723. And remember, if you've missed any of this show, which you will not hear on mainstream conservative talk radio today, instead you're going to hear, let's restore the Constitution. Or better yet, let's see if we can get better Supreme Court justices in there. Yeah, that's the solution. If you've missed any of this segment or any of my previous shows, they're all available for streaming and download at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. But you're going to need a Founders Pass member. And please, folks, if you're listening and you've not become a Founders Pass member, please do so today. We've got our June goals. We've got to stay alive. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. And the only way we're going to get these ideas out is to grow our network. And to do that, we need your help right now. We hope we get to the point where we can draw in big advertisers. But right now, we need your help. Please consider becoming a Founders Pass member today. Don't put it off. The easiest thing in the world to do is to put it off. Please don't. And for those of you who have already become Founders Pass members, we owe you a debt of gratitude. We can't say thanks enough to you guys. My gosh, everybody in the Veritas Radio Network, I know I speak for Mike, are humbled by you people. It's remarkable that you are believers to this degree. We need your help to continue going forward, though, folks. Please go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, click the join button at the top of any page. It's easy peasy. You'll see a whole host of ways to become Founders Pass members today. Don't put it off. This is the Mark Kreslin Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be. We'll be right back.